If you're wondering, I wrote a letter. I should have put that in my Substack. You know what? I'm going to go back and edit that, and I'll put it in later today. I wrote a letter to Crockle Barrel, and I told them this, and this is a true story. When our little clan would head from here in Mandeville to my to Maggie's aunt's house in Arkansas, or to dude number two's house in Virginia, or to my sister's house in South Carolina. You throw all the kids in the car and you take off at 9 o'clock at night because you're going to drive overnight. You know, the kids can pass out naked sleep. One of the things that we always planned to do and look forward to was somewhere along the route, we're not going to eat at some greaseball fast food joint. We're not going to eat in a car. We're going to stop and enjoy our time together as a family. And we always chose, and I mean this, this is true, we always chose Crockle Barrel. In advance, we chose. All right, get the app out, y'all. Start looking for a Crockle Barrel up ahead, and we'll pick one, and we'll take the exit, and we'll stop and have lunch. I'll tell you, 2 years ago, the first year that we drove to the St. Benedict Center, with the Barretts ahead of us and me and Maggie running, playing the part of Smokey, Barrett playing the part of the... I was the bandit. He was Barrett was the away team car because he was ahead of us. Mrs. O'Connell and I, Mrs. Char and I, decided that we were going to stop somewhere in Virginia or northern Tennessee, almost to Virginia, and have lunch at a Crockle Barrel. So we could sit down, stretch our legs, get some iced tea or whatever. And I actually did have the fried chicken. So for families that are traveling, it's a good option. Was a good option. Do these imbeciles actually, do they realize, does it even matter anymore? That much of the people that are drawn and attracted to them because they think they're wholesome and pro-family and whatnot, to find out that the corporate management is actually waging a stealth war and using the proceeds of the food that you purchase to wage that war to give it to LGBTQ plus people? What the hell? To all this may concern, I wrote, since 2004, I've happily stopped at Crockle Barrel restaurants across southeastern United States, primarily on family vacations and other trips to visit family in other states. Today, I learned that our beloved, family-friendly Crockle Barrel has thrown in with the Rainbow Purification League's Pride Month. Why? Why? You then go on to say that you support all people this month and every month with a rainbow collage of your now infamous rocking chairs. Why? Homosexuality is by definition incompatible with God's natural plan for the family, and it's an abomination against nature and God as well. Why can't I just expect you to mind your own damn business? Keep making the great down-home food we once loved and stay out of the war to scandalize Catholics and our faith by vulgar promotions of homosexuality. Why? When the LGBTQ plus-plus-plus-plussers succeed in adding the G for groomers to their list of perversions, will you be rainbow painting the kid-sized rocking chairs to diabolically patronize them too? I will never visit a Crockle Barrel restaurant again, and I will encourage my Catholic friends to consider their choice in choosing you as well. We stopped at Crockle Barrel's to eat, not learn about your new deviant embrace of sexual perversion. For shame, Crockle Barrel. For shame.
What's truly sad about this too is that they play up the Southern cuisine. Well, it's not a huge thing here in the South for the LGBTQ. It's not very liked. It's not well established. It's not, that's not what Southerners like.
Well, now that picture you do in the chat room, that's us at a Cracker Barrel.
The story you were just talking about.
All right, so on our trip to the St. Benedict Center 2 years ago, there it is. We stopped for fried chicken. There's the Crusade Channel sticker on the Cracker Barrel table. That's right, Brian Kay. We're all bigots now. Hey, bigot, if you want to come into Cracker Barrel, you need to worship at the collage of rainbow-painted chairs. Now, there's a really healthy conversation going on in the chat room about why would they do this? It's not them. You must understand, we're the ones that live in bubbles. But our bubbles are based in reality. There's a story today that I'm going to get into in just a moment here. This is by Vincent McCaffrey at amgreatness.com. The authorities are revolting. The old double-edged saw, the peasants are revolting, has been turned on its head. My commentary on this in today's pile of prep at mikechurch.com is Vincent McCaffrey is right. The exalted mystic ruling Illuminati elite have grown tired of our resistance and want to bring it to an end now. Do you know that yesterday the Biden regime issued an executive order ordering Dick Levine, the Assistant Secretary of the Health and Inhuman Disservices Department, to begin preparing the documentation and the funding so that the Biden regime and the Health and Inhuman Disservices Department can subsidize the parental notification not required mutilation of 14-year-old children and up? And some people say, well, you should heard in Biden. If he's not conspiring to dismember children in their mother's wombs, he's now conspiring to dismember them at the 38th trimester. I think Hitler might have been an upgrade. At least he didn't, that we know of, go by definition after the children. He might have been a fairly reasonable, rational ruler compared to the nutbags that we have over us today. One more. There's so much to get to here today. 49 governors have pre-ordered deadly COVID jabs for kids under 5. Can you guess what the one governor holdout is? I'll give you 3 guesses. The first 2 don't count. And then, because we're going to talk about this in just for a moment here. This is Micah P. Vallon at the American Conservative Magazine website, LIV Golf and Homo Economicus. Vallon makes the point that I made in my Substack, which drew so much controversy yesterday. Apparently, it's 80 against the King Dude and 24. That is what I'm saying, and I actually had a conversation with David Simpson yesterday. He goes, well, I agree with Richard Barrett and Potter Claude that let the competition for PGA pros begin. I'm like, David, there's a lot more at work here. And then David and I got into a conversation about, well, how far back do you want to go with the original Homo Economicus argument here? I'm like, well, how far back do you want to go? Because David's like, well, you can't say that the Saudi Arabians, because the Saudi Arabians were created by the CIA, the House of Saud. I'm like, I know that. Prior to the House of Saud, though, there was a House of Saud. Wendell Berry, American cultural critic, essayist, and poet, addresses these themes in his book, What Matters? Economics for a Renewed Commonwealth. It's a book that I have. I've read to you from it. As a matter of fact, I have it in my bag. According to Berry, the liberal standard holds that a person is upwardly mobile if he leaves his hometown, the rural farm or country home, and finds a lucrative job or enters a respected profession in the city. Berry claims this by implication makes those who move to the city because they are chasing bright lights or because they have had jobs replaced by a machine and end up homeless or in a slum downwardly mobile. Yet up or down, all is well because it constitutes progress. So we're all supposed to see Phil Chokelson and Bryson DeChambeau, or whatever the hell his name is, and Sergio Garcia and all the rest of them's flight to the LIV as some sort of progress because a bunch of oil-rich pervert Muslims have a ginormous pile of cash and they took shovels and threw it at them and said, just come and play. We'll throw more at you. We don't even care if you win.